Hey guys, finding the perfect gift for the food lover in your life is easy. Thanks to Goldbelly. Goldbelly ships America's most iconic foods straight from world-famous restaurants right to your door. So if you want to treat someone to Joe's Stone Crab from Miami, Franklin Barbecue from Texas, or desserts from famous foodies like Ina Garten or Martha Stewart, Goldbelly has you covered with free shipping anywhere in the country. Just go to goldbelly.com and for a limited time, get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's promo code GIFT.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, and welcome to the Just Interesting podcast number 79. I'm Robin, and joining me today, as usual, I'm going to say this time, are Martin and Alex. How are you both?
Bonsoir, Robin. This is London calling.
When is Eurovision? Is Eurovision on at the moment?
It's already happened.
It was a couple of months ago, wasn't it?
Oh no, it was, I don't know.
Was it a couple of months ago? No way.
They've had like Eurovision parties.
Really?
Because they've been the whole process of selecting Eurovision entries. And thank you all for tuning in live to this discussion of the Eurovision. No, actually, today's discussion is going to be about a classic mystery, one that's, I think, often requested by our fans, which is the mystery of Oak Island. Is there treasure, famous treasure, from an infamous pirate buried on Oak Island? Now, truth be told, of the three of us, I think it's fair to say, Martin, that Alex is the resident expert.
I'd say so.
I was not informed of this before we started.
Setting you up for failure.
This is live. What?
if you have your questions, then direct them towards Alex in the chat.
Yeah, please do. Thank you for joining us in the chat. Before we get on to that discussion, we will be, as always, discussing things that we learned this week, as well as our favourite comments of the past week, also addressing your comments live. That's the beauty of this thing being live. And then after, we shall be doing a quiz. Martin versus Alex. Currently, as you can see from the quiz leaderboard, if you're watching us on YouTube, Alex has 5 victories under his belt and Martin has 3. So it's actually quite close. If Martin can win this, then he could be the victor and he might be able to reclaim the trophy of the cup.
That never ever transferred to me in the first place.
It's in my car.
Why is it in your car, Martin? Unless you were planning on driving it to Scotland.
It's a travel mode, so it has to travel around the place. It's in the car.
It should be traveling to me right now.
Well, I could drive it to you, couldn't I?
I mean, that would be commitment. I would forgive you instantly. If you hopped in your car right now and drove all the way to Edinburgh.
I'm off. Yeah. I guess that I could combine it with a quick scan of Loch Ness. See if there's a monster in the depths, and away we go.
Yeah, we'll
you get the travel mug. We resolve the mystery of Loch Ness.
I'll get the scuba gear. We'll meet at Loch Ness. Let's do it. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Just before we get stuck into things that we learned this week, Kurt in the chat says, "Evening, guys. Finally got to catch you live at last."
Hey!
Oh, awesome. We're so pleased. So pleased we got to finally join us in a live broadcast. Mm-hmm. It's always a bit hit and miss, isn't it, with timings. We don't have a regular slot yet, but hopefully we'll settle into a regular pattern. You know when we'll be going live.
We're trying to make it a little bit more regular, yeah. That's for sure. Like a regular timing. We've got a spreadsheet now. It's all going to be fine.
Spreadsheets, that's the way to do it.
Yeah.
That's the way to do it.
It's nice to see as well Toffee Man Matt in the chat. Good evening, gents, he says. I believe Toffee Man is a big supporter of us over on Twitch as well. twitch.tv/just_interesting. So it's good to see you on the YouTube as well. Thanks, Matt. That's a casual little reminder for everyone who's not following us on Twitch. You can also do that if you fancy as well.
And indeed, lots of hours of Alex playing great games in a great way.
Thank you, Robin. Indeed. Wow, all three of us.
What was the last thing you played, Alex? I can't remember.
Well, we played Aliens.
We did.
Aliens. Oh, yes, you did. Fire Team.
Yeah. My Team Elite.
That was it.
Don't forget the Elite, Alex.
Fire Team Elite. That was it. Which was a very whelming game. But it kind of turned into the three of us just doing a tier list of stuff.
It did, actually. Yeah, because your PlayStation is broken, isn't it, Mark?
Well, I'm in a situation where I can't do any updates on it. And it won't let me log into like the PlayStation, or I can't remember, the network without doing an update. So I'm stuck with what I've got on the system currently, and the disk drive's broken. So I'm currently stuck with what I've got, which isn't great. But I do have Elden Ring on the system, so I'll be okay for at least another 500 hours.
Nice.
For the rest of your life.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. Aww. So, gentlemen, tell me, what did you learn this week? Alex.
Oh, well, this week, riddle me this, Robin and Martin. Because I've also been playing Batman Arkham Knight, so I've been in a bit of a Riddler mood. How do you keep ice in a desert?
How do you keep it cold?
Yeah, just like stop it from melting. How do you keep it?
You freeze it at night.
You freeze the ice.
Take a cool box. So you don't have anything on you, right? I take it. Nothing on you. You dig a massive hole. It's frozen at night, you dig the hole at night and you bury it in the ground. It has to be at night, though.
But then you can't take it with you.
Do you know what, Martin? You've nearly figured it out. You've nearly figured out what the Persians figured out in 400 BC. So that's what I learned this week. I learned how the Persians stored ice. And they used a thing called a yakchal, which is an ancient refrigerator. And this was essentially not far off what you would say, Martin. They realized that at nighttime, ice would form like in the shade in the corners of things, so like next to a wall or that kind of thing. So they would dig a massive pit, pour water in it, and then when it froze the next day, they would take it up and put it in what's called a yakchal, which is basically like a really wide-based, pointed building. So all the hot air rises and would leave from the top. It was just like a cellar, basically. A cellar that they made in the desert. But I just thought that's an ingenious invention. So for so long ago, and it's kind of a reminder that we are just the kind of product of the time that we're born, if that makes sense. Like I couldn't think of a better solution to cooling things if I was sent back to that time period. Do you know what I mean? I probably couldn't have even thought of that. Do you know what I mean? Like, and that's 2,500 years ago.
Sat around in a circle discussing it, and you'd be like, why don't we just use a freezer? Oh, no, we don't have freezers. I'm out of ideas. No freezer, no ice. Sorry, guys.
I'd be like, we just need to, why don't we just plug it in? What is electric? How do we make that? I think that's it, isn't it? Like, it's just an ingenious invention that... made the most use of the technology of the time.
That is great.
Yeah. There's one of those things going back in time. There's often people say, oh, go back in time, what would you do? And people say, oh, you know, I don't know, put a load of money on a certain stock or whatever. Or they say like, oh, I'd invent something. Go back in time, I'd invent an iPod. It's like, you know how to invent an iPod. Are you telling me? the late 90s, early noughties, you know how to invent an iPod. Now, you'd just be mentioning the name of an iPod and be like, yeah, no, it's kind of white and has a screen. And that would be
on that very note, AM in the chat has said, if we were sent back in time, how much could we really invent? We would need the blueprints.
If you
could go back to any time period, this is meant for you two, but also everyone in the chat, if you could go back and visit, or you actually, it's a one-way trip, you've got to go back to that time period, where would you visit and why?
One-way trip, you can't come back.
It's a one-way trip, yeah.
Oh, dear. Like Jez from a Peep Show. Yeah, Coca-Cola and milkshakes.
See the Rolling Stones? Jez, you can literally do all of those things now.
That's a tough one. Because you don't want it to be too grim. That's the other thing. People are like, I'll go back and see some war. It's like, nah, war's horrible.
Actually, maybe not a one-way trip. Maybe you go there for as long as you want and then can come back.
Oh, you can come back.
Yeah, you can come back. It's just a visit.
My old go-to answer was always the JFK assassination.
Just to see what happens.
Yeah. Originally, I used to be like, I would go to the sixth floor of the book depository on View Plaza and watch Oswald
blow his brains out.
So you wouldn't intervene. Yeah. You wouldn't intervene. You wouldn't be like, down, Mr. President.
No, because I'd probably get shot. But I would intervene with Oswald on the sixth floor of the book depository. Except if I did do that, I would almost certainly guarantee some kind of weird paradox thing. And I would end up being the trigger man, wrestling with Oswald, which is why the first two shots miss, because I'm wrestling with him. And then the third shot nails him.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the thing, isn't it? I mean, you're going back there. That's pretty horrible, too. I'm just going to go back and see JFK get his brains blown out. Is there a single
nice moment in history? Like, is there any moment in history that's significant to go and observe this?
I want to see the completion of the pyramids. Like, yeah, slaves.
Yeah, dead bodies everywhere, probably. Yeah.
Completion of the pyramids. So how would you define the completion of the pyramids?
Exactly.
Like the last the last bit of plaster was put on the top.
That's it, yeah.
Doom in the chat says, I'd visit Jesus and see if he was chill. And I think that's a good one. Just to visit and see what he's all about.
Come back, you're like, he was a bit of an arsehole, guys. Not sure how to break this to you.
I mean, the problem is we wouldn't be able to
speak to him.
How do you speak to him?
Unless you learn Aramaic.
That's true.
If he's the son of God, I'm sure he can find a way.
That's the point, though, in the whole Bible. People are constantly prove you're the son of God by doing this miracle. And people are like, no.
I mean, I'm not asking him to prove anything. I just want, I'd like to have a chat.
That sounded a lot like a Pharisee, Alex. You sounded a lot like a Pharisee. imagine, though, if you went back in time and if you could understand Jesus, you could understand each other and converse. Mm. And you're like, you get there and he's there at the center of a crowd or the top of the hill, the mount, whatever. And they're all chanting and you're just like, are they chanting, lock her up? lock her up? Is that what they're saying?
Four more years.
yeah. Four more years.
I can tell you now, looking back to the history books, 4 years is not going to happen. Okay.
Or if he's in the middle of it all, he's turning water into wine, and then suddenly an intergalactic portal appears and you step through it from your time machine. You're going to steal his thunder a little bit, aren't you? That's going to be a butterfly effect there. You're going to come forward 2,000 years and there's going to be a...
Maybe, unless...
religion for a time traveler.
You appear next to him in the moment where he's up in the mountain on his own and the disciples go up and the angels appear to him. Or no, Moses and Elijah. The disciples go up and Jesus is praying and Moses and Elijah are there. And like, it's Moses and Elijah. But actually, it's Alex and Martin just turning up to have a look.
Moses and Elijah then turn up. Who are you guys?
who are you?
Quickly, let's get out of here.
And that's it. Like, the two of you are put on the spot. The disciples are like, who are you? And Alex and Martin is like, think of a Jewish name, Elijah. The other one's like, the only other name I can think of is Moses. Moses. And they're like, Elijah and Moses. Oh my gosh. Anyway, sorry about that. That's a weird tangent. But Martin, what did you learn?
There we go. Ice in the desert. I learned that birds who live in cities often use cigarette butts to build their nests.
All right, sorry.
Which is quite a kind of disgusting thought, isn't it? Quite gross. You look up at a nest. Oh my goodness, look at that bird's nest up there. It's just a whole load of Marlborough.
It's recycling in a way. Upcycling.
It kind of is. Upcycling. I guess, perhaps.
Can they choke on them or anything? Is it a bit of a choking hazard? Can they get addicted?
No. Potentially. We'll find out in the future, I imagine. There'll be some studies done on chaffinches and their nicotine addiction. But no, the reason for them doing this, there's actually a reason behind it. They're not just doing it because it's the only thing they can build their homes out of in a disgusting, smoke-filled city. But no, the reason that they're doing it is that cigarettes, and in particular the nicotine, stops parasites and certain bugs from entering their nests.
Really?
Oh. Yeah. So that's the reason they did it. So there's actually a reason behind it. And that's what I learned this week.
Wow, that is really interesting. Yeah. See, yeah. That is what the tobacco industry should be running as
they
ads.
They should be yeah, selling. They should,
absolutely. Yeah.
Make sure when you throw those on the floor, you leave a bit of the nicotine in there.
Yeah, sure. Smoking kills you, but it saves the birds. So
exactly. save the birds. Yeah.
That's mental. But only pigeons, presumably. Pigeons and maybe magpies in the center of city. Or is it all birds?
It seems to be a wide array of birds. But yeah, I imagine. I mean, if you think about London, it's mainly pigeons, isn't it? Let's be honest.
Yeah.
We don't know what the effects are on the birds themselves, but that's the reason that they do it. I imagine that in the long run, it's probably not going to be great, is it? With all the stuff that's the tar and the stuff that's in cigarettes.
Yeah, you get these chicks being born with nicotine addictions. Mm. Maybe that's why pigeons are so kind of fidgety all the time. Like, I need my fix.
Yes.
That's actually amazing. And that also, you can easily compare that directly to early human developments of tools, you know, stuff that humans used to do. Archaeologists are like, they used to do this, and these are the scientific benefits, but they can't possibly have known that because they weren't able to analyze the stuff on a molecular level.
That's they just realized kind of through hearsay that it was,
noticed a pattern.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Wow.
I remember watching a bit on Planet Earth 2 where there was a bird. It wasn't like a nest, but it was like a monument that this fancy tropical bird makes to lure in a partner. But half the things that they use now are like random bits of plastic. Like it was using a plastic fork and there's like a woven little love heart.
Oh dear.
I mean, it's incredible TV. But it's just a bit sad, isn't it? It's a bit depressing that they're using all these artificial things.
Trash.
Yeah. It shows... just how pervasive human waste is in the environment and how much we've affected the world around us.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
It's horrendous. Yeah. Horrendous. But as you say, great TV.
Fantastic TV.
Well, I learned this week something. It's kind of a dark subject, but actually I think it's a positive spin on a dark subject. I was randomly... looking into data on serial killers and the number of serial killers that are in the world, and learned this week that the number of serial killers in the world is going down. So
the pause there is just like, and we've got to do something about it. This is not on. When I was scanning the databases, I was trying to discern what they've all done wrong and learn from their mistakes.
But that's the thing. And it's genuinely fascinating why they think it's dropped. But I think it's so fascinating, I might even suggest doing a separate podcast about it. So let us know. Let us know in the comments if you'd like us to cover serial killers and why they are declining. In number, I mean, not in quality.
Not, I mean, I imagine you've looked into this a little bit, Robin, but without going into any detail, I know that one theory was that it was kind of a lot of the serial killers in the 70s were kind of like post-war or were like born just after the, perhaps the boomers, potentially.
Like the baby boomers, yeah.
And the reason why there was a surge was because people had come back from war with like post-traumatic stress and like treated their children really badly and like had a whole lot of like PTSD symptoms and stuff. So there was a correlation with war and serial killers, but I don't know how much truth there is in that.
That makes sense, because yeah, definitely it peaked in the 80s, but I mean, it shot up in the 70s and then peaked in the 80s, and then it's been declining since then, but there's been a dramatic decline in the last decade. The last couple of decades.
Yeah.
So you're right, that might be why it peaked back then. Yeah, absolutely.
Do you know what I think it is? I think it's violent video games, Robin. I think violent video games are a successful outlet for a lot of, you know, angry people. And instead of murdering someone in real life, they get to murder hundreds of people in GTA. So
yeah, you know
here's
what?
Here's to you, right. Violent video games. Well done.
Here's to you.
Yes, indeed.
All right, then. Well, moving on from things we've learned this week and violent video games, comments. Do we have any comments from recent videos that we've uploaded that we'd like to discuss?
There's one comment in the chat, which definitely relates to a comment that I know, I think one of you guys was going to bring up this week.
Yeah.
And that's from Amandeep Sohata, who says, "Hi guys, I love watching the podcast. Will you put up full episodes on YouTube again? I know you've only been putting up the shorter parts for the podcast, but I do miss watching the full episodes. Thanks." Alex, were you going to cover that one?
Yeah, I can do. So, I mean, we've said this before. All the podcasts, the full podcast, will remain on the channel. I think there's been some confusion about where they're situated on the channel. But our idea was basically to have them on a playlist on the main channel page so anyone can watch them at any point. And then we were going to experiment with... We're just kind of experimenting at this point with the YouTube algorithm to just upload the main section of the podcast just to see if that kind of attracts, you know, new people to it, new eyes to it. But they will always be available, the full episodes. And I think what we're going to do now, because there is a bit of confusion, we'll admit, is just upload, like after this podcast, it will be live on the channel maybe for a few days or a week or something. And then we'll, when we upload the shortened clip, we'll put a link to this one in the description and in the video. But at all times, the full podcast will be available to watch on the channel.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, the audio version will always be available on audio platforms like Spotify and Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts, all those things. Just want to add to that, Alex, that the reason we started having this discussion about doing it this way was because loads of people kept commenting and asking for just the main conversation and to cut all the waffle beforehand. So we thought we would oblige them and then thought we'd try out this experiment, which may help with the algorithm, which we know, even at the best of times, the YouTube algorithm is a mystery and a fickle mistress.
I think it's trying to do it, but also not have duplicate videos on. I think that's the challenge.
So on the channel page itself, it has the playlist at the top, which is the full versions of the podcast, and then below it is the uploads. So in your subscription feed, it will come up with the cut down main condensed segment, but then all the episodes are up here regardless, but just won't be in the subscription feed because we don't want to spam people with two versions, as you say.
Exactly.
That's the idea behind it. Yeah.
Yeah. But if you get in the subscription feed, if it pops up with a new video from us and it's like a shortened version, you can, that's like your way of knowing that the full podcast is up on the channel. So you can click through and you'll find the full podcast.
Yeah, it will be a link included in every episode.
Yeah. Video. Again, this is still, we're still kind of experimenting. So if this is very confusing for everyone, then we'll happily revert back.
Plenty of room to change.
Yeah. Absolutely. But thank you. Yes, thank you, though, for the comment. And, yeah, and you weren't the only one. A few people were confused about that.
Quite a lot, yeah. We'll just try to keep the message going until the conclusion of the experiment. Alex, you have a comment?
So I wanted to comment on one that was posted on our last podcast last night. It says, lads, you need to change the intro theme because it's rubbish, but most importantly, keep the loud noise spikes down. I love the Delia and Turpin samples on quizzes as much as anyone, but a lot of people listen for your dulcet tones, not the bloody jump scares. Calm and easy does it. So that was Lepotomane commented that. And I just love the way it was worded, first of all. But I think that's maybe part of us being live more. We don't have as much control over the noise spike, so hopefully it's okay. Let us know in the chat if the audio sounds all right.
With the buzzers, we can definitely tone those down a bit and not have them up near the mic. That's definitely something we can do, but the intro music stays, I'm afraid.
Oh yeah, the intro music stays.
It's our trademark, isn't it? I don't know what our trademark would be otherwise, but
I mean, we just chose it randomly on a whim. We could easily change it to something else, but I mean, what do you guys think in the chat? Do you like our intro music, our intro theme?
Yeah,
we can mix it up.
We've got some nice feedback in the chat. Thank you everyone for commenting. We won't read out now because it feels a bit self-indulgent to read your nice comments about us, but thank you very much. I've got a comment from the last video that went live, which wasn't a podcast or even a trim for a podcast. It was a video essay that I made about fingerprints and the history of fingerprinting,
which is an amazing video that everyone should go and watch, by the way.
Thank you.
Just want to sneak that in there.
Thanks, Alex. Well done, Robert. Thank you. I enjoyed making it. Interesting topic, but obviously fingerprints are the one thing that throughout your life will always identify, unless you don't have any.
But like the only way
you can have them. Yeah, like me. No, well, Mr. Boston commented saying, I lost my fingerprints from hot steel.
Ooh.
Well, so first thing is, I'm really sorry. I hope that hasn't detrimentally affected your life somehow. That sounds like a nasty accident to lose your fingerprints burning hot steel.
I don't think they did that method in Mission Impossible.
No, they did not. It's not a standard method. So my follow-up question is, please, Mr. Boston, if you're listening, comment and tell us how. What context were you handling hot steel? I'm imagining some kind of factory environment, but who knows? Don't want to judge. It might be something that you do in your private life. If you're willing to share,
steel.
Share. You know, hot steel.
I mean, you could
for something else.
Maybe you work for a secret organization of some kind. Maybe you're a spy or something that could be useful for that, possibly. Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it's not something I think about much. How you might lose your fingerprints?
Did you lose all of them? Like, on 10 finger? Like, were you?
Wow! Yeah.
Hands in the steel. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. Get back to us. Please.
Yeah. Well, we may still obviously please keep the comments coming in the live chat. We'll respond to them as they come. But let's get stuck into the main topic of this episode, which is what is hidden on Oak Island? And as we've already mentioned, this will be trimmed out for people to watch on YouTube. But if you want to listen to the full podcast, there will be a link available in the description below on the video. And if you're listening to us, then you're listening to the full episode. So never mind. What is hidden on Oak Island? Well, firstly, you might be wondering, where is Oak Island? Well, Oak Island is a small island off the coast of Nova Scotia in Canada. Very lovely place, I hear. Never been there. And
send us to Oak Island.
That's our next
support us on Patreon. That's our stretch goal.
But there have been rumors, strong, persistent rumor, for at least the last 200 years that there is treasure hidden on Oak Island. And it all began in 1795.
A bloody good year.
When Daniel McGuinness was out on the island exploring the pastures, looking for some good farmland, and he noticed a circular depression on the ground in the southeast of the island. And he got some friends around, and when they started digging this little mysterious depression in the ground, they found that every 3 meters below the surface, they came across a layer of oak logs lying across this depression, this pit. And this, it looked like nearby trees had been cut down, possibly to make pulleys that could lift and lower something into this pit. And since then, it has become known as the Money Pit. And the persistent rumor is that there is treasure hidden down there. And that treasure was put there by none other than the notorious Captain William Kidd, a Scottish privateer convicted and hanged as a pirate in London in 1701, who spent at least 5 years of his life as a probable privateer and then later accused of being a pirate, seizing French and Spanish, I think, ships in the Caribbean and off the south coast of South Africa. I see a map on screen.
I've just put a little image of Oak Island on screen. That is amazing. Just think, so people can see it.
Yeah.
Not really that's too much of a trailer. Right.
Well, full disclosure, Oak Island, some of you already mentioned, actually, in fact, someone in the chat mentioned that they had met the presenters of The Curse of Oak Island, which is amazing. A History Channel TV series that's on its like 9th season now. So no spoilers, but they have been looking for something for 9 seasons of TV on Oak Island. What have they found?
The thing is, it's not that big of an island, is it? 9 seasons of TV. There are concerns, and I don't think anyone would accuse them of doing this, Robin. There are some concerns that maybe they're stretching out the premise to you know, get as much out of this TV show as possible. I'm not accusing. I would never say that. But some
you would never say that. You would never say that.
Yeah. Well, they've got their license there for what, 40 years, so you know we can expect at least another 30 odd seasons.
But even in the show, though, they have made some interesting, potentially interesting discoveries.
Yeah. Before we talk about those, though, I'd just like to mention that there is some credibility to the story, because obviously we all know the myths of buried treasure, but most pirates, like Blackbeard or Anne Bonny, didn't bury any treasure. It's pure fiction. But William Kidd actually did bury treasure. He's known for it. In fact, they found some on an island further south off the coast of the Americas. Can't remember the island now. I'll just try to find it. But he did actually bury some treasure. He was in the habit of burying treasure to keep it away from his enemies. So if any pirate would have buried treasure on Oak Island, it would have been Captain Kidd. But that's not what they found so far.
No. And that's the thing. And as Bush comments, you've got to think about the credibility of a show that's been there for 9 seasons. And we're very much on board with you that, how much can you rely on a show that obviously is pulling in at least, you know, at least decent ratings, probably still, if they've got a ninth series. And so there's definitely a reason why they're there now.
Well, the Lagina brothers, who are the presenters of the Curse of Oak Island TV show, have been exploring the 140-acre island for the last 10 years at least, and they have found some interesting artifacts, some of them surprisingly old. So they found a lead cross, the little necklace cross, that goes back to possibly the year 1200, which is very early for European Christians to be on the east coast of Canada. And they found, was it a gold brooch with a gem in the middle?
Yeah. So this is this the one that was thought to be from Marie Antoinette? Possibly. Yes. there's the theory that the last queen of France ordered a maid to take her jewels and flee the city before it was overrun by revolutionaries obsessed with cake.
or lack of it.
And so there's a theory that this brooch that was found on the island once belonged to, you know, was part of the jewelry of the Queen of France. And it's unclear how this maid found her way to Nova Scotia.
Yes. Yeah, that's slightly odd, isn't it?
But this brooch was dated to 500 years, I think, which is interesting. And this was found by, Rick and Marty Lagina? How do you pronounce it?
I said Lagina, but that actually could be
Lagina,
correct.
Alex.
Lagina.
Lagina. Yeah, so it's interesting. Yeah. It's an interesting one.
Yeah. This brooch, though, unfortunately, although it looked beautiful, it's got a red gem in the middle that could be a ruby. Turns out it was just a garnet, which is still not common, not easily affordable for ordinary people, but is much, much, much less rare and expensive than a ruby. So highly unlikely to have been owned by someone like Marie Antoinette.
Right, yeah. Any knockoffs, would she?
No, exactly. She was the Queen of France. She'd have the best of the best. Also, I think it was probably found at the wrong level, because Marie Antoinette, of course, died in the late 18th century, not long before Daniel McGuinness found the money pit in 1795. And for her garnet to be found so as deep as they did find it, chances are...
Doesn't make sense. Doesn't quite add up.
Before her time, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Have we spoken about the series of stones that was found on the island that could suggest the pirate theory that pirates like William Kidd or Edward Teach or Henry Avery once buried their gold on the island? So there was a series of stones that they found laid out in a particular way that pointed towards the money pit. So it was like a triangle shape, and they thought it was pointed towards the money pit. And that could explain, because there were in the money pit, there were some booby traps, alleged, like booby traps that were apparently found or thought that they did exist and work at some point.
Right. My initial question with this is, why would you want to point anyone in the direction? If you're the people that know about this and it's your treasure, who are you trying to...
I don't think it was like...
Who are you trying to riddle here?
Well, I think it's probably... in case you needed to send someone to the island to pick it up, you could say, look for a particular series of stones.
Follow this, yeah.
But it's probably something that wouldn't be noticed unless they knew what they were looking for.
Mm. Perhaps.
Because you could also follow the stones in the wrong direction, couldn't you? In theory. If it's a triangle, it points in three directions.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I told them isosceles. Why did they make an equilateral triangle?
This is a nightmare.
This is no use to anyone. Goddamn pirates!
No one will ever find my treasure. We've got some suggestions in the chat. Well, I assume they're suggestions. The Notorious 14 and Doom simply say aliens, and follow up with time traveling aliens.
Nice.
I guess that explains the Marie Antoinette jewel. Is that where the time traveling aliens comes from? Aliens, of course, put it there.
Or the stones. Bush. Aliens just came to Earth and arranged a little triangle of stones.
It could be. It could have been a rehearsal for the pyramids. It's possible. Mm. Absolutely.
A tiny little rehearsal in Nova Scotia. Actually, I think we'll go to Egypt now.
Aliens on vacation, the little kids like, I want to make a pyramid. Like, yes, baby. Go and do that there.
So, but it hasn't been without issue, has it? I mean, you spoke about the booby traps and what was it? The excavations, one of them was pretty early on, wasn't it? 1802, when the Onslow Company took over.
Yeah, specifically to find the treasure there, wasn't it? They took over.
Right.
Yeah.
And they didn't have a great time of it, did they?
No, I don't think they did. What happened to them, though?
So they were trying to excavate the area, and the pit flooded with a whole load of water, up to 20 meters of water, supposedly. And they tried to, build in some shafts to stabilize it, and those also flooded. Potentially there was a network of tunnels that existed going from the site of where the treasure's supposed to be to the sea, so it was always going to flood no matter what.
So that was thought to potentially be
some kind of booby trap. But then you think, if they're going there to try and regain the treasure as well, that's not really helpful for them either. It was always going to be attached to the sea, unless you try and block up those holes.
I guess that's it. If you know the booby traps are there, then presumably you have some way of diffusing. That's not the right word. But countering them, switching them off.
Yeah.
There's a lot of work going into that booby trap, though.
Digging
these tunnels to the sea, or the tunnels are naturally there to begin with, and you just dig it in a place, where you have to know where it's buried, otherwise you're going to get flooded. Do you know what I mean?
It's risky.
It seems like a lot of effort and thought has gone into that.
Yeah.
That booby trap. What's wrong with some wooden spikes? What's wrong with just stepping on a rake?
Old school.
Old school. Classics. They work, man.
I think over time, there have been quite a few deaths, though, associated with attempts to excavate the money pit, haven't there?
Yeah.
Possibly as a result of some of these booby traps, or maybe just other accidents that have happened in the frankly dangerous process of digging pits deep into the ground.
Yeah.
On an island with loose soil and surrounded by water. Stuff is going to go wrong.
Yeah.
So that, ownership of the island changed hands after this to the Oak Island Association. And in 1861, the original pit was re-excavated with two more shafts dug. And one of the platforms at 93 feet collapsed, causing two other platforms to give way. And some speculate that this actually buried the treasure even further underground. So these platforms, as they were falling, might have knocked any buried treasure even further underground. And that could be why we still haven't found anything to this day. Or any buried treasure. And there were, I think 6 fatalities on the island were also recorded this same year when a water pump engine exploded scolding someone to death, and another worker fell into the pit and died. So there have been, I think 6 fatalities on the island so far. I mean, that water pump engine, though, exploding, that seems like an accident. That's not really the island's fault.
Well, if it's cursed.
I mean, if it's cursed, then it's a different story entirely.
Island is cursed.
This island is cursed.
And that's sad. It's tragic, really, that 6 people have lost their lives in...
That's one off the table.
Ultimately, foolhardy attempts to find treasure. I mean, whether or not the treasure is there, they haven't found it. So those 6 people's lives have been spent in vain so far.
That's true.
Yeah. But I think that's very sad. Even if there's truth to the rumours that there's treasure there, it's not worth it.
I mean, I imagine that the current excavators are doing something. They're doing their work slightly differently. It's not as perilous as it was back in the 1860s.
Yeah, and also I wonder, as many people in the comments are alluding to, I wonder if maybe the real treasure isn't buried on the island, but maybe it's broadcast into people's TVs every one, at least once a week. You know, maybe the real treasure is the TV show worth millions.
The friends we made along the way.
It does sound a bit like that, doesn't it? One of the things that always gets me about this one is that it's changed hands so many times.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe when you look back at the original owners, they found all the treasure and they're like, I'm not going to tell anyone about this. Like, well, let's get off the island, sell it.
Oh, yeah, there could be some treasure there.
There might be treasure. We haven't found it, but you have a good go. Meanwhile, they're like, putting the chests back onto the boat. Maybe the island's already been, maybe the treasure's already been taken off the island by some early adventurers. And since then, everyone's been looking for treasure that's already gone, it's long gone.
In fact, that's
a canny thing to do. That's a good point. Someone might have been clever enough to do that.
Taking it one step further, maybe they actually scattered some artifacts that were actually just a bunch of cheap jewelry and stuff around the island. When it was just this worthless island in Nova Scotia, just because they wanted to sell it. And this was just like, we've found some artifacts on the island. You may want to, maybe that's worth buying, why it's worth buying. There could be some buried treasure here, you know, it's all smoke and mirrors.
There are these stones pointing in a certain direction.
Okay.
I think other artifacts they found, though, in excavations have been things like a pickaxe head and a boot.
From previous excavations.
So, you know, not all the scattered artifacts were that valuable.
True.
But there have been so many excavations now. I'm not just talking about the last 10 years for the History Channel, but there were some in the 1930s, I think, and the 1920s, as well as the 1860s. And of course, the early 1800s after the first in the late 18th century, the 1700s. And such a small island, as Alex said earlier, you think they would have found it by now. Unless, like you say, it was by one of these accidents, these muddy landslides, buried it even further. And it's just now lost forever because no one knows exactly where the original money pit is, do they? That's the thing. Like the Curse of Oak Island TV show seems to have a pretty good idea, but some of the excavations were done where they thought the money pit was, but actually they were quite a way off.
We don't know, but
the original records of where the money pit exactly was have been lost.
In the chat, Hey Now Paulie says, I think it was more likely the Knights Templar than pirates due to the amount of work done. They have found a large wharf and stone pathways. And that leads me nicely to one of the more outlandish theories of the island, put forward in 1953 by Penn Leary, who put forward the idea that the Oak Island pit contains several secret manuscripts detailing William Shakespeare's true identity.
Where does that even come from? Sorry.
Like the fact that there's just been one document that says he was actually Timothy James from Burton on Heath, and that's been put in a little box and then been taken to an island off Canada.
Well, the theory goes that it's not just Tim from Burton on Heath. It's you may recognize him. The actual masterpiece, creator was Sir Francis Bacon. And Oak Island is home to evidence that proves it, apparently. So this is other theorists highlight connections between the pit and the Illuminati, such as many of the original excavators on the island were Freemasons, apparently, and suggested they were in possession of elite knowledge about the truth of the island. Author Stephen Sora speculated that the pit could have been dug by exiled Knights Templar who buried an ancient holy relic there, possibly the Ark of the Covenant, possibly the Holy Grail.
Always the Holy Grail.
Why not? Why not at this point? Yeah.
And it's the list of places.
Although, also, why? Because is it just
why this
it
island?
Hidden?
Yeah. I guess it's pretty hidden, out of the way.
It is. It is. But by implication, they thought that all the islands off the coast of Europe and Britain and were not well hidden enough.
Not suitable.
Marrying the Holy Grail.
This is definitely more secret, though. This is the new continent. Yeah. This is the...
That's true, yeah. And the medieval people is really
That's
out
the thing,
of
though. It's very difficult to get to and very difficult for these people to return to. So if you're burying it there, you're pretty much saying, I'm burying it here, probably... For the rest of our lives, we can't return. And human nature, if you've got something really valuable, is to kind of try and hide it, but close to you, as opposed to just take it and burying it. Like you're not gonna hide your all of your gold rings, your pimp rings. You're not gonna hide all of those in Northern Ireland, are you? Then you have to go over to Northern Ireland to dig them up.
You're
going to chuck them in Loch Ness because no one looks there.
The idea is to, if you're burying gold, or pirates would bury gold, right, in the hopes that they could come back to it later and collect it. So that's the idea, I guess. Hence the booby traps, because they actually don't want anyone to even accidentally stumble on it. They want to be able to eventually come back themselves, defuse it. When the heat's settled down a little bit, they can go back and collect it.
Exactly.
But if... So I admit, of the theories that have been suggested so far, pirates makes the most sense if there's treasure there. Because although we can't pretend to know the motivations of the Knights Templar when they bury the Holy Grail or the Ark of the Covenant on this remote island off the coast
of
Canada...
Or the true identity of William Shakespeare.
Especially that one. The Earl of Oxford must have been really keen to not be caught.
Not keen enough to just destroy all evidence. But I mean, keen enough to bury it underground.
You don't burn documents, Alex. You bury them on another continent. I'll have you know.
Shredders hadn't been invented yet.
So the pirates thing makes the most sense. But then if pirates bury treasure and they go to all the effort to dig a very deep shaft, dozens of meters deep, with protected by layers of logs that have been laid horizontally, and booby traps... That's got to be quite a treasure.
You'd expect so, wouldn't you?
It's got to be worth something, you know.
Especially if it's Marie Antoinette's brooch.
Yeah,
that's fake. It's almost I went to Oak Island and all I got was this lousy T-shirt. It was all I got was this lousy brooch.
So, do we have any indication of how much this treasure might be worth?
$100 million.
$100 million.
It depends. Depends what it is, though. Because if it is like any kind of William Shakespeare's manuscripts or proof like that, it's literally priceless. And Marie Antoinette's brooch, you could never sell that kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, they're saying, weren't they saying about back in the day, way back when, in like the early 19th century, that potentially there was £2 million buried beneath the earth. And wasn't it a large stone on the island that was inscribed with some symbols that they basically said they deciphered it to say here lies £2 million worth of
so that there was a stone they found in the pit right after excavating, and it was written in code, inscribed with code, I would say deciphered to be that stone has been lost now. I think no one knows where the stone is.
Always the case.
But,
always the case.
But if that's the case, if it was William Kidd, who died in 1701, £2 million, that would be worth like half a billion
£3 million
today.
I think the The inscription on the stone read, 40 feet below, £2 million lie buried. So 40 feet, clearly either his calculations are wrong or the gold, if it ever was there, has either been recovered or it slipped even further down into the pit. Or maybe it was washed out to sea at this point. Apparently that would be worth hundreds of millions in today's money.
Yeah, it would be about half a billion.
Yeah, that's mad.
Just shy of half a billion pounds, which is...
That's the thing with booby traps. If you're creating booby traps that have a tunnel leading out to sea, that's not great, is it, if you unload treasure in there?
William!
I didn't think this through.
Yeah. So maybe we just need to go and look along the coastline Oak Island to find the traces of treasure that might still be there on the seabed, and then find out the flow of the currents, and then follow that to find the bulk of the treasure.
Indeed.
Let's go do it. They can continue filming their silly TV show whilst they're on the island of all places, and we can go diving, deep sea diving.
Exactly. Do you know how to deep sea dive? Do you know how to deep sea dive?
No, never done it in my life.
No, we'll pick it up. We'll pick it up as we go along, I'm sure.
Easy. Have either of you been scuba diving?
No.
No, I wanted to be a diver when I was little. You know when people are like, what do you want to do when you grow up? When I was about 6 or 7, I wanted to be a diver.
Was it modern scuba diving in your head? Because when I was I read Tintin. And he was doing, you know, the old diving suit with the oxygen line to the surface where someone's manually pumping oxygen.
Oh, God,
suit.
It's fascinating.
Fishbowl.
Oh, horrendous. I think it was a little book where there were divers, and it was like cartoon pictures, I guess, of divers with fish and in a submarine, etc. And there was like a hole in it where you could then put in your own photo.
Mm.
So I put a little passport photo of me as a diver in this book. Diving looks great. This looks great fun.
I want you to find that book, Martin. I need to see it.
It probably is at my parents' house somewhere, I imagine. Probably.
Find it for next week. We'll we need to show people now. You've need to pay the tax and show people.
Yeah. With troll toll.
I wonder what does everyone think in the comments though about Oak Island? Do they think there was once treasure here? Do they think that it's been discovered, or there was never treasure there? I actually quite like that theory now that we've said it. I don't think I ever even thought of that, but I like the idea that there was never any treasure there, but they were just struggling to sell the island originally. So they just scattered a few artifacts about, maybe.
Yeah, I like that. Cheap, I think that's a great suggestion.
Some cheap tat.
I like it. I like it. Let's go with that. Sorted. But let's go and inform the producers of Oak Island TV show. They don't have to be there anymore. It's fine.
It's okay. You're done. Send us instead.
Solved.
They've been going for 9 seasons. We've tackled it in about 20 minutes.
Perfect.
Nothing like armchair detective work. I love it.
Exactly.
Sweet.
Well, if now that we've wrapped up and solved the mystery of Oak Island, would you guys like to do a quiz?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Hey guys, finding the perfect gift for the food lover in your life is easy. Thanks to Goldbelly. Goldbelly ships America's most iconic foods straight from world-famous restaurants right to your door. So if you want to treat someone to Joe's Stone Crab from Miami, Franklin Barbecue from Texas, or desserts from famous foodies like Ina Garten or Martha Stewart, Goldbelly has you covered with free shipping anywhere in the country. Just go to goldbelly.com and for a limited time, get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's promo code GIFT.
Yeah. Here we go.
Hello and welcome to Zach Fizz. Oh, this quiz will be live, so if you want to put your answers into the comments as we ask the questions, then please do. There are a lot of you. You're all welcome to join in. I will try to notice the first 3 correct answers, but please do not be offended if I don't read out your name as on the correct answer, Rez.
I'll be offended for you if Rob messes this
up. very kindly, Alex is going to keep track of the scores, so no cheating, Alex.
It's okay. The comments don't even pop up on my streaming software, so I won't see anything. You can be assured. Rest assured. No cheating.
I'm safe. You can just cheat with buzzing in too early. That's fine.
Whoa. Okay.
Oh. Shots fired.
Ouch. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, gentlemen, to answer quiz questions and score points, to win the quiz, you need a buzzer to buzz in and blast the eardrums of everyone listening. So,
yeah.
What, gentlemen, are your buzzers? Alex.
I will play you my buzzer, Robin, but I'm currently listening to an advert. Oh, no, here we go.
Oh, here we go.
It's familiar to everyone.
Champagne has always been celebrated for its excellence. There's a California champagne by Paul Masson.
There you go. It's the classic. So it's been a while. So
much. And Martin, what's your buzzer?
At a lower, less jump scary volume. I've gone on double speed.
I thought she was a bit more energetic than normal.
That's 1.5 speed. I mean, yeah. Okay. We'll go with it. We'll roll with it this time.
I love it.
It is what it is. The
super drunk celebrity face off. It's great.
Oh, I kind of want to put Orson Welles at double speed now. I'm going to.
What does he sound like at double speed?
Yeah, what's he like at double speed? Yeah. Let's listen to that.
Hang on. Let's have a listen.
Champagne has always been celebrated for its excellence. There's a California champagne by Paul Masson.
It
sounds less drunk.
Yeah. It's just kind of normal pace with two times. Yeah.
Right, I've come back to normal.
But you still get a hint of the champagne, which is funny.
They don't think.
Okay, quiz time. As always, there are 10 questions with a bonus question for a tie or just for fun. And a mixture of questions. General knowledge, that's the theme, as usual, for the quiz. Question number one, okay. Buzzers at the ready. And those of you want to join in the chat, fingertips on keyboards. Question one. In what country is Samsung Electronics based?
Champagne has always been celebrated.
I think I heard Delia there.
That is South Korea.
It is South Korea. Well done.
Nicely done. 1-0
to Martin. And yep. In the comments, seems like everybody got it, but Foxakara, Spiffing, and Javadog was wrong.
No, that's wrong.
I'm the King, 25.
Such a nice reference.
First three people to get it right. Was that Parker's one?
Yeah, it's not even like a well-known moment, though.
My apologies. I didn't mean to call out Java Dog for getting it wrong. I've done twice now, but never mind. So give yourselves a point, those three. Spiffing, Foxakara, and Sam the King, 25. So question number two, 1-0 to Martin. The gas xenon takes its name from the Greek word for what? Meaning what?
Xenon.
Ooh, I think I heard Delia, that's Martin.
I'll have a guess. Let's go for xenon. Let's go for light.
Incorrect.
Mm.
French champagne.
Yes, I was.
I don't know how this would fit into a gas, but is it foreign?
I'll give it to you. Yes, it's stranger.
Okay. Yeah. Stranger. Okay.
As in xenophobia.
Yeah, that's my thing.
Okay, yeah, nice, nice. That is
the correct one. Yeah.
Nice, yeah.
Well done, so that's one all. In the chat, nobody got the answer to that one. It's a bit too difficult question. Although we got some answers, such as fart, alien, and beans. So...
Quality.
No.
I love it.
Ooh.
Points around.
Vivian's Circle. Greek, well done. I don't know how you do that. Okay, well... question number three.
Okay.
This is a closest wins, so fingers on buzzers and thinking caps on. How many members of the band Spinal Tap have died? That was Martin.
Oh, can you hear me?
Yeah.
I'm going to go Martin, for two.
Okay, you're going for two. Closest wins, Alex. What's your guess?
Closest wins. How many are there?
What? Yeah, I'm.
Spain has always been celebrated for its.
I've only seen Spinal Tap like. I think I saw it once one time, but I don't remember if this is like a joke or something. I'm going to go for a joke answer. I don't know why. I'll go to it for 11. Switch it up to 11.
Never. Alex is closest. 18 members of the band Spinal Tap have died. Or at least 17. Because
what was the
reference? Joe Bessett is either dead or playing jazz. Spinal Tap is a fictional band.
Yeah.
Whose drummers famously died on stage, and they've lost another 18. Nine drummers since the 1982 documentary. In there the chat, Spiffing actually guessed 18. So,
oh wow,
spot on. Well done, Spiffing. Next closest were Caveman Dave and Sam the King 25 with 11. Close, but no
score. There we go. There we go.
Well, I mean, you get a point. Give yourselves a point. I think they're in the quiz now. Oh, yeah. Actually, getting ahead of us. Alex has a point, so it's 2-1 going into question number 4.
Very good, very good.
Sorry, that was a kind of tricky question because they're not a real band. But
I was a bit confused.
I thought we knew them. Everyone at Spinal Tap, right?
I thought you were thinking like the actors who played them.
Nah.
Well, I couldn't remember if it was actually a joke. Is it a joke in the film?
It is, yeah.
Oh, it must be. Yeah, I haven't seen it.
At the time of making the film, they'd only lost 7 members of the band. They lost a bunch since then.
Right.
So question number 4. Fingers on buzzers. Which metal is also known as Quicksilver?
French champagne.
That was really close. I think I heard Delia shouting just before.
Ridiculous. No, I think that's probably fine.
Yeah.
I think it's mercury.
It is mercury. Yeah. Well done. To all. This is good.
Martin, your buzzer game has improved. I'll give you that.
I know. I have to admit, I did try and put you off a little bit with the old buzzer talk before the start of the quiz.
Oh, dear. Vivian Circle, Java Dog, and Hey Now Pauly all got Mercury. Well done. Give yourselves a point. Sorry to everyone else who also got Mercury, but those are the first 3 people to get the answer in the chat. So, going on to question number 5. What does, this is a kind of medical question here.
Okay.
What does a sphygmometer measure?
Sphygmometer.
Sphygmometer, yes.
Oh my God.
Oh, sphyg. It's a knot. How do you spell it? Can you use it in a sentence?
Can I use it in a sentence?
The sphygmometer measures that.
Yes, I'm having a sphygmometer reading today. There you go.
Okay.
It's okay. sphygmometer. Sorry, gmometer. Sphygmometer.
Could it be that? Oh no. Could it be the force in which you blow outwards, lung capacity kind of thing?
Yes, yeah.
That's a good guess. I like that. Yeah, that was good. Yeah.
I should probably have a guess.
It's always been celebrated for its excellence.
Does it measure quantities of phlegm? Something to do with phlegm.
Phlegm. No, but I like what you're thinking.
Just sounds, I don't know, sphig. I don't know.
Phlegm and sphig, yeah, shared letters there.
They're both just kind of gross words.
No, it's not this thing. I'll give you a clue. It's, okay. It measures... A lot of people with stress might need a sphygmometer reading.
Is it your blood pressure?
It is your blood pressure.
Oh, well, is it? Nice. That's what it's officially called, a sphygmometer.
Yeah, sphygmometer. Wow. Yeah.
No way. I have no idea about that.
It's just a weird word.
Just call it blood pressure reading.
Machine. Yeah, blood pressure machine.
Blood pressure machine, yeah.
Yeah.
Who calls it that?
Okay. Doctors. But not patients.
Even them, I bet they don't call it that. I bet they are.
The inventor who was called Mr. Sphyg. I don't know.
I appreciate this is your name, buddy, but we're not going to call it that.
All right, then. So, 3-2 to Martin going into question 6. Still tight. Fingers on buzzers. Poetry question now. Mm. How many lines are there in a sonnet?
Champagne.
Oh, that was definitely a portion. For its excellence.
This number jumped out to me, but it could well be wrong. Is it 16?
That's incorrect.
No! No, why did I think 16?
I thought it was Clash of Swings. Or...
it's not.
Sonnet. A sonnet has 12.
That is also incorrect.
Dang. Oh, that was my second guess. 12, yeah. Oh, I'm lost now.
Hmm. Should we just keep on guessing numbers then?
I mean, I'll give you a clue. You're not far off.
Champagne has always been celebrated for its sake.
That was close, but I think it was Orson.
Orson? Me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Nice as the rest of us.
Is it 18?
No, it is not 18.
I'm going for 10.
It's not 10. The chat have got it. The chat have got it. I'll say that.
Okay.
I'll give you a clue, or hopefully it's a clue. Shakespeare is famous for writing sonnets. Don't know if that will trigger any memories from school about the length of a sonnet.
It does not. It does not at all. That's no help to me. What Francis Bacon was up to doesn't help me.
Shakespeare sonnets.
Champagne has always been celebrated for its excellence.
Oh God, I don't know. I don't know. Is it? I'll stick with my current increments. Is it 20?
It's not 20.
Is it an even number? If it's an even number, then the one we're missing is 14, isn't it?
It is 14. Well done.
I went the wrong way.
You went the wrong way.
I was thinking.
It's both either side of it. 12 and 16.
Your poetry knowledge is rubbish. Yeah. So I was thinking, does sonnet, does it have anything to do with rhyming couplets?
Maybe. I don't
know. Oh, that's embarrassing.
14 lines. Yeah.
No.
So Martin got... You got that, Martin, didn't you? Yeah.
Yeah.
You did, yes. That's 4-2 to Martin. And amazingly, whilst we were doing that question, Isaac Holmgren donated some money to the channel. He says, love the channel, brothers. Much. Keep up the epic work. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much.
Isaac, that's incredible.
Very kind.
Really, really generous. And we got some people in the quiz who are, watching us in the chat, who are clearly slightly more on it when it comes to Shakespeare than Martin and Alex tonight. Yeah, Java Dog got there, straight in there with 14. Foxakara got 14. And Toffee Man Matt also got 14.
Fair play.
Awesome. Nicely done, guys. Nicely done.
Yeah.
Very nicely done. So, on to question number 7. Still time for Alex to... get back into the game.
Yeah, I know.
Don't doubt me.
This question may be right up your alley, Alex.
Oh, here we go.
Okay.
Stephanie Meyer wrote which series of best-selling novels?
I don't know why this would appeal to me or why you thought this would jump out to me, but it's I feel like it's common knowledge. I'm digging myself a hole when I get this wrong now. Is it Twilight?
It is Twilight.
Okay, yes. I didn't know that.
Okay, I haven't read the books.
I knew Alex was a real Twilight fan.
Massive. What are you, team? What are the teams? Team. I'd say Team
Edward.
I'd say Jedward. Or Team Jedward.
Jedward.
Jacob, isn't it?
Jacob.
Oh, so actually, combine the two.
Actually, it's Jedward.
Team Jedward. I'm in the middle. Yeah.
Nice.
There you go.
I was going to say Team Bella, but actually, she's part three of the love triangle, really. She's the one who's definitely not going to change.
He's done really well recently, hasn't he? Edward Cullen,
Batman and all.
Robert Pattinson.
Yeah. Oh, Batman. He's doing all right. Oh,
that's a good film. Would recommend.
They both have. I mean, she had an Oscar nomination for playing Princess Diana.
She'd been.
So they've both. And don't forget Anna Kendrick's in the movies as well. And who else is in those films? Who was not famous until they were in Twilight, and they've actually proven themselves to be pretty talented people. It's amazing.
Are you big fans of the film, Robert?
I have seen every moment of the first 5 minutes of the first
film. you just know
more than me.
I did see the whole first film. I went to see it in the cinema actually with my sister.
Loved it.
Film, and I went in against my will, you know, under duress. And I have to confess, I actually quite enjoyed it. I came out of it thinking, yeah, that was all right.
Yeah.
Except for the ending. It was the ending when they suddenly were like, oh, this film has no plot. Let's have an evil vampire. That was
terrible. Spoilers.
Sorry.
There's an evil one. What?
Yeah,
I mean vampires.
Vampires? What is this about? I thought it was about fans of Sunset. So we've got definitely some people in the chat got that. Vivian Circle and Little Miss Stella. Ooh. And Toffee Man Matt were the first three people to get to Twilight.
Oh, well done.
Pretty much everyone got it. Spiffing says, Team Jedward all the way, Martin.
Yeah. I haven't been counting the scores, but I definitely feel like some people in the chat might be beating us now.
Pretty sure some people in the chat are ahead of you. Mm. Or at least think about Martin. Yeah, don't think about it. So, question number 8, fingers on your buzzers. Yeah. How many players are there on a volleyball team?
Has always been celebrated for its excellence.
I'm not sure, but I think I might have heard Delia shout.
It's very faint in the background, but I will admit, I think you're
I turned it down so I didn't blast people's eardrums. Might turn it down a bit too much. Damn. This is actually one of the sports where I'm a bit like, I'm not sure, I'm not entirely sure, but I think I'm going to go for 6.
You are correct. Bang on. Aww. It is 6.
Well, fair enough. I wouldn't have gotten that. I was going to guess 5. Same.
Basketball's 5, isn't it?
Is it? Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. Sure is.
Yeah.
Encore one time. They're switching out, don't they? But
yeah.
Why not?
Yeah. Hey Now Paulie got it right with 6, as did Toffee Man Matt. No one else got 6, sadly, although Takoka was close with 7. And Isaac Holmgren, amusingly, said 69, which I
think
that's great.
Nice. Nice. Might have been a typo. You know, could have said 6 and got it right.
Could have said 6 and got the 9 in. Yeah, that's true. Although, how does that even work? That's an uneven number.
I don't think it was a typo. Let's be honest.
Okay, question number 9. We're so close.
So I need
still
to,
2 points. Yeah,
I can bring
gets
it back.
Both of these right, and he can. Mm-hmm. He has a chance.
Yeah,
he has a chance.
Okay, here we go.
Cast your minds back to your childhood, gentlemen. What color was Play-Doh when it first went on the market?
Celebrated for its excellence.
That was literally simultaneous. I don't know who to go with first. I'll give Alex a chance because he's behind.
I don't know this. So
I'm
probably wrong. Is it yellow?
It is not yellow. It was not yellow when it first went on the market. Later, yeah.
I've got 2 colors in my mind. I'm going to go for red.
It is not red.
When
that was the color I always associated with Play-Doh.
When
you can get in a range of colors, you know. Yeah.
But yeah, well, that's exactly like, what do you, there was there only one color?
Originally, it was, originally, it was just one color.
I can't answer.
There's a California. Adverts don't count as buzzers.
Literally just buzzed.
Yes, Alex, I heard that.
What?
I heard Martin was
buzzing.
I buzzed with Delia when you guys were chatting about the colours of Play-Doh.
I don't want to win this one.
No, it's okay.
Go ahead, Martin.
There's only 2 colours left, so go for it. It's 50-50, so go for it.
What are you talking about? There's loads of colours.
There's really 2 colours, aren't there?
Well, I can think of 3 that there could be. What? Is there... how about green? Is it green?
It's not green.
Okay.
Well, then the other one I think would be blue.
It's not blue.
Oh!
Inspired by that same French accent.
Yes, Ellie.
Is it orange?
No.
Oh, for goodness sake!
What colour's left? Yeah. Is it purple? No. That'd be mental, wouldn't it? What are your purple Play-Doh?
I think I might just keep going. You're going to run out eventually.
I mean, this feels like it would be a bit of a choice, you know. I don't think they would do this. Is it pink?
Oh, no.
No.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of other colours.
Okay, is it white?
It's white! Well done.
There we go.
It is.
I'm just thinking, if they don't dye it, then it's just, what is it Play-Doh? What is it, flour?
The absence of colour. Yeah, neutral white.
That's smart. Yeah. Nicely done.
Yeah.
After 10 attempts. going through every cow. It's literally
you got there eventually. Have to go away. I mean, it's tricky because genuine question. When you think of someone says, think of a colour, would you ever think of white first?
No.
Because in my mind, white is kind of not a colour, even though it's obviously it's all the colours.
I
agree. You don't necessarily think of it, especially with like a kid's, you know, type of activity like Play-Doh. You don't think of that as white.
Well, we have a few. No one said white in the chat, but a few people did say grey. So I'm guessing they may be thinking of white, because a white Play-Doh might, some people look a bit greyish. I'd be willing to concede that.
Is there going to be, I mean, if you type it in on Google, does it come up as grey? Because then, you know, people are Googling it.
Oh, that's a good question.
Who would say grey as the first time? Unless they knew it. Unless they knew it. But I'm going to say that, I'm just having a look now.
I reckon they have childhood memories of playing with it, but like over the course of playing with it, it would naturally turn grey.
Turn grey was fixable with dirt. Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's probably maybe.
To me, Play-Doh was always red. I didn't realize there were more colors. Red was my color. And just that was the one I bought, obviously, and used to eat. Delicious.
That explains a lot.
It's very nutritious, Alex.
It is pretty salty as well, isn't it, Play-Doh?
I haven't had it recently.
I remember the, you know, you remember just, I don't know if it's meant to be or whether it's just people's sweaty hands.
Oh, that's grim.
Gross.
Okay. Literally,
okay, assault on the chat. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I need to.
Final question.
I need to regain some dignity here. Congratulations, Martin. Well done on your victory.
Yeah, you have secured your victory.
Woo.
And you're very close to securing the trophy again.
Well, we need to decide when the season's going to end.
I'm not sure how many.
Winning, Alex.
I've completely lost track of how many quizzes everyone has had. It's quite bad.
I've definitely done less as quiz master than you guys. But I've got some lined up. So,
all right. Okay. Question number 7, fingers on buzzers. Okay. In a standard deck of cards.
It's celebrated for its excellence.
Yes, Alex?
It's 52.
Oh, yes, it is 52, but that's not the answer to the question.
Oh.
So, I shall finish the question.
It's not how many cards there are. Okay, fine.
It's not. Closest wins. How many cards in the deck of cards? No. Which king does not have a moustache?
Oh. I know it.
Hey.
Do you?
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Okay.
Yes. My natural guess would be hearts.
And you would be correct.
Yeah.
I didn't know it. I thought it was spades, but no, clearly.
No, it is hearts. It's the one king without a moustache.
I think I've heard it in maybe not in a quiz, but in somewhere before. Did you know kind of thing?
Yeah, it's one of those things useful bits of general knowledge for a quiz.
Oh, Martin, you're all absolutely starting a conversation. Demolished me.
Yeah, dominated this. 7-3. I hope that keeping track of the scores, Alex, did not distract you, because I would feel bad.
It did. That's why I lost. I'm happy to accept that that was the reason entirely. So, yeah. There we go. Yeah. You won, Martin, but at what cost?
Well,
I feel very proud of yourself.
I hope it makes you very happy.
In the chat, Hey Now Paulie was the only person to get that last question correct. And I think Hey Now Paulie only has 3 points. So Martin might be dominating with 7 points. Everybody. I think you're comfortably in the lead. You won this one. No shame. Well done.
Well done, Martin.
No shame.
Well
done, Martin. Usually it's a shameful grab of closest wins and debatable buzzers.
It's been getting pretty tense lately against the viewers. It has been pretty tense. So, question number 11. Bonus question?
Yeah.
This is a closest wins.
Okay.
In which year did the 20th state join the United States of America?
The 20th state?
When did it win? That's not the right word. It's 20th state. Yes, Martin.
It was a complete guess. I don't know, 1781.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I don't actually know like how long it took all the how many states there were in that really early period. I'll say a little bit later.
There's a California champagne by
1790.
Okay. Well, it's a closest win, and Alex is closest.
Mm-hmm.
You may remember that famously there were 13 colonies, the original 13.
Mm-hmm.
But the 20th state, Mississippi, didn't join until 1817.
1817. Okay. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Again, bloody good year.
No one in the chat got it exactly, but Bush came very close with 1820.
So, oh, well, yeah, well
guess.
Done.
Very good guess there. Nice. Yeah.
A few Excellent. Points for that one, surely. That's a tough one.
Yeah, absolutely. That was a good one.
So, yeah, well, thank you, fellas. Thanks for doing the quiz. Well,
thank you, Robert.
For winning. A solid victory. And
thank you, yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for watching us live and for listening to this, not live, after the fact. Hopefully you've enjoyed this and enjoyed it and learned something new every day. It's just a little interesting.
I just saw someone join the chat when you see how many people are watching. Sorry, mate, whoever that is.
Well, sorry you missed it. I'm signing up.
Just about to leave.
Thank you. Thank you, Ray. And thank you all of you for participating in the chat and giving us your thoughts, answering our questions, feedback, genuinely. We really appreciate it. And for joining in the quiz. And we'll see you all next time.
Yeah, see you soon. Have a good week.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, guys. Have you heard of Goldbelly? It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic, famous foods from restaurants across the country, anywhere, nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. Goldbelly ships Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. So, if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's goldbelly.com, promo code GIFT.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.